will twice won sages. By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, the God-living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These Asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of the devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaved so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his word. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification for the devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Gurave Gurchandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadvaktaya Namo Namaha. This is a very important verse and a very important purport. This verse is quoted by many, many of our acharyas. Jiva Goswami gives a lengthy explanation of this in his Bhakti Samarga. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, aside from giving an explanation of this in his purport, he also elaborately speaks about this verse in his Madhurya Kadambini. It's a very important verse. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, there's a lot of deep meaning. It will take many, many days to properly explain this thing. We understand the famous verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that a dosha at the pass, sadhu sangha the toe, not the nirvikrisha, up to prema. There are different stages, which begin with faith. But a question may arise, where does that faith come from? And how do we get that? Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he says that, speaking about the demoniac persons, he says, these asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. So, according to the Supreme Will, according to the Supreme Lord's desire, those demoniac persons, they get some mercy. And that person who gives them mercy, he's the Krishna Kripa Patra, or the pot of Krishna's mercy. He's known as Krishna Kripa Srimurti, or the embodiment of Krishna's mercy. And such a person is Sakshat Dharitvim. He's not different from Krishna. Acharya Mam Vijaniyam Navamangi Tukarichi. He's not different from God. When God manifests His mercy in this world for us, that mercy is in the form of Sadhguru. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he describes that such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. This is how they're addressed. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or His incarnation. So, sometimes when we read these things from Srila Prabhupada, we might think, this is really not very relevant for us. This is referring to the Mayavadis, if you're going to speak to the Ramakrishna Mission, or somebody like that, all those are Sai Baba, and you'll say these kind of things. This is really not very relevant for us. But it is relevant for us. We should contemplate how. Acharya Mam Vijaniyam Navamam Vyuktakarichya. Krishna says, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, that you should know, the Guru is not different from me. So the Guru is God. And we worship Him like that. Because He's a mercy manifestation of God. He doesn't say He's directly God. In the early days, in the 1970s, mid-1970s, some devotees whom Srila Prabhupada had just given sannyas, they went to a Janmashtami festival in New Vrindavan. And all the devotees were new in those days, and they just liked to chant, dance, and be happy, and take prasadam, pretty simple. But these sannyasis, they came, and everyone was very appreciative. It was the first sannyasis in the movement. And Srila Prabhupada, Vyas Puja, they started speaking some very unusual things that devotees had never heard before. They said, just recently Prabhupada left America and went back to India. And the reason why he did that was, because we made an offense. We didn't appreciate Him properly. And the devotees were very shocked and disturbed. But what offense did we do? We didn't recognize that actually He's Krishna. And some of them said, well, I don't know. Is that our philosophy? And he said, yes. Sakshad David Vinaskamasva Shastra. All the Shastras declared Jesus directly Krishna. Prabhupada's an incarnation of Krishna. We didn't appreciate Him. So He left. And so many devotees were bewildered. And there was some quarrels. Because nobody really knew the nice Shastra, they couldn't address this problem. They couldn't feed them. And so then finally someone phoned Srila Prabhupada in India. And Prabhupada heard this, he became very upset, very angry, and he started chastising those devotees. And he sent those three sannyasis away from the movement. He said he didn't reject them. He was actually kind to them. He said, you go and preach, they can't go to the temples. One of them went to Gainesville, Florida, where I used to stay. And he hitchhiked there, he had no car, and he hitchhiked there. Went to the university, had nowhere to go. He sat underneath the trees, the fair car tells, started chanting Hare Krishna. And the center came because of it. So Prabhupada also used them to distribute His mercy. He had this misconception. Srila Prabhupada was very upset about that. So such devotees never claim to be God. In a similar way, genuine devotees, they never claim to be Guru. Because Sakshat Devibhin Hastam Nasvasham, Guru is not different from God. Charjanam Vijanayam Navaman Yita Karichit. Krishna says the Guru is not different from me. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, someone says that they're Guru, they're actually golden. They're a cow. They're not really their guide. They're not a real Guru. Because we don't accept that title for ourselves. Guru Maharaj told us a number of times. Srila Prabhupada told him to accept disciples. And Guru Maharaj said, Prabhupada, I don't want that. That's a Vaishnava who's genetically snitching. And why would he ever want to be worshipped by people? Why would he ever think that I'm qualified to be Guru? Guru Maharaj said, no, I don't want it. That's it. I want it. So you must do that. So Guru Maharaj told us when someone has the instruction from Guru, and they can do that. It's a simple point. If Prajumna Prabhu decides he's going to be my representative, and he starts writing things on the internet, signing Madhavendra Das, and this and that, I might become very upset. What are you doing? Who told you to do that? I just decided I would do it. You have no right to do that. And in a court of law, I could sue you. I could take you to court and put you in jail. So we have no right to do that thing. We have a right to speak Krishna Katha. In fact, we have an instruction to speak Krishna Katha. But we don't have a right to be something that we're not. We've just been traveling in Lithuania and Ukraine and Hungary and Switzerland. And one subject that we spoke about a lot was how to get the Lord's mercy. And some devotees think that if I just learn to remove this properly, then definitely I'll get the Lord's mercy. And maybe if I memorize a lot of shlokas, or I'll go to Mangal Artik every day and sign my name on the attendance list and have the best attendance, distribute the most books, or I'll learn Ariya, I'll learn Bengali. But those things in and of themselves won't give someone mercy. Rava, he knew Sanskrit. He didn't get the mercy of the Lord just because he knew the language. It requires something more. And Guru Maharaj used to say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Patit Pavan. He's the savior of the fallen. But he said, he's not Kapatya Pavan. He's not the savior of the crooked. So we should simply be honest. Krishna, he describes in the Bhagavad Gita that this honesty is the most important thing. Kamindriyani samyam yaya aste manasasmanam indriyartam vimunhatma nitya chara sa uchite. Someone who's acting like something that they're not. He's a nitya chara. His achara is nitya, it's a lie. It's a literal meaning of the word. He's pretending. And sometimes we even fool ourselves. And we think that, you know, practically I'm a great devotee. Don't you see what I'm doing? No? But if we fail to understand that we don't have anything, all that we have is what we repeat from our guru, if we start thinking I'm a big person, then punamushitabha will again become a loss and again become insignificant. So we should understand how that mercy comes. What is our role in connection with that mercy? This verse, in his Sa'artha Deepika commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes that this verse describes five different levels or stages of spiritual development. The first one, he says, is Sattam Kripa. We oftentimes say, as I mentioned in the beginning, Adol Shraddha. The first thing is faith. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur seems to be disagreeing with that. He says, the first thing is Sattam Kripa, the mercy of the devotees. Second thing is that mercy comes in the form of Mahatseva, Vishwanath says. Service to those devotees. He says it indicates that what is a Sattam Kripa? What is the mercy of devotees? The mercy of a devotee is when they give you service to them. Gurumaharaj, for many years, he wouldn't accept service from any devotees. He wouldn't allow anyone to wash his cloth. He was very, very strict like that. But then something happened with Krishna's arrangement, and he had some operation on his ankle, and he couldn't walk properly. And then all of a sudden he accepted that as Krishna's arrangement, and he started accepting service from devotees. And he would kindly allow them to help him to walk, and he allowed them to wash his cloth, bring him in different services. So, the first thing is Sitham Kripa, a mercy of the Satjanas, the devotees. And that Sitham Kripa comes in a mercy in the form of Mahatseva, service to them. When we give service to the Vaishnava, we should understand they're giving us mercy. Because a Vaishnava doesn't want to accept service. And a Vaishnava doesn't always want to give service to others. Guru doesn't always want to give service to others. I saw that with Guru Maharaj. Sometimes people would come to him, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, please tell me, what can I do?" He said, "Anyway, you just chant 16 rounds and go to the temple and do normal things." "Oh, but Guru Maharaj, please give me anyway, what people have." And he didn't often do that. He didn't often give a direct instruction to someone. Because he knew that if he gives a direct instruction to someone, that person doesn't follow it. That's Guru Avagya. That's a great offense to the holy name. And that person may be destroyed. So, it's mercy when the Vaishnava gives some service. That's Mahatseva. It's the second development in spiritual life. The third development in spiritual life, Vishwanath says, is Shraddha. It's faith. Why is it that he says this is a third development? Rupa Goswami says it's a go Shraddha. It's a beginning. This is an interesting point. So he says that this word in the verse Shraddha means a man in whom faith is developed by serving devotees. So there's different types of faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that there's Paramarthika Shraddha, transcendental faith, and there's Lokit Shraddha, common faith. Common people have faith inside them. But common people have faith in this person or that person as guru. Why? Because we can't see who's guru and who's not. But they have some faith. So why? What's wrong with their faith? But their faith may be they're simply for some mundane, because of some mundane reason. Oh, he's very handsome. He knows lots of verses. He has an Indian body. He shouts a lot. The one Mataji once told me, "Do you know why I like such and such person? I want him as my guru?" I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Because he's very good with children." And I want a guru who's very good with children. So she got that. And if you want such a guru, you can go to any nursery school. Because you'll find so many gurus are there. So many people who are good with children. So that's guru for her. But that's Lokit Shraddha. She's not having Shastriya Shraddha. She's not having Paramarthika Shraddha, transcendental faith, which is based on Shastra. Paramarthika Shraddha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his commentary to the first verse of Shikshastika, is of two types. Shashartha Avardhara Moi Shraddha. Shat faith, which is based in Shastra. I read this thing and I believe this thing. And that's good. That's a type of Paramarthika Shraddha. But that type of faith is based on fear. Fear of the Shastras. And, oh, if I don't follow like this, then I'm going to go to hell. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says, there are four reasons why we come to the Lord. Bhaya, Asha, Karta, Vibhuri, and Lag. And he says that Bhaya and Asa, Bhaya meaning fear, Asha meaning desiring some wealth or something material, they're very low class. But many people, they come because of Bhaya, and that may be come because of Shastra. Better than that, he says, it's part of Vibhuri, out of a sense of duty, that this is what I should do. I have this responsibility. But better than that is out of love. Out of some spontaneous attraction of the Lord. So, there's Shasharta, Avadharma, Mahi Shraddha, and there's Bhagavat Lila, Madhurja Mui, Lobha Shraddha. The key word there is lobha, is greed. Greed which comes from hearing someone who's a Raghatmaka Bhakta, who's an eternal associate of the Lord, who is Surup Shakti Krishna Pushta Parikara. As Prabhupada says in the purport here, such devotees of the Lord, they're known as incarnations of the Lord, the sons of the Lord, or intimate associates, they've descended. This is Surup Shakti Krishna Pushta Parikara. He's an intimate associate of the Lord who is descended. Or someone who's on the platform of Prema. Prema Bhakti Jahahoti Abhijavanasajati. When we hear from such a personality, it destroys all types of ignorance in our heart. And we get another type of faith. And it's an interesting thing, if you study in the history of Vaishnavism, we see that different times devotees have one of these two different types of faith. And they don't always get along. Someone has Shastra Shraddha, faith in Shastra, which is based on fear. And they see someone else who has this Bhagavat Lila Madhurja Muyi Lobham Shraddha, coming from hearing from a Premi Bhakti, and they don't understand that type of faith. They have a different kind of faith. It's a more ritualistic, mechanistic, institutional kind of faith. But that's okay. We just started working on a book a few days ago, myself, which we might call Demons, Devotees, and Organized Religion. And something about Putana, and something about the failure of religion to satisfy man. So, dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Real religion comes from a Premi Bhakta, from Krishna, or from that devotee who's descended from the spiritual world, and they speak that thing. That's how it's given. We can also read books, and by reading those books you get something. But it's not quite the same kind of thing. It's a different kind of faith. It's still a good kind of faith. It's still paramarthika shraddha. But it's a different kind, because not all the doubts will be cleared. And we'll come back to that in a moment. So Vishwanath, he says, five stages are given in this verse. Shushusho Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataraji Shanmaha Sevaya Vipra Kringatipana Seva. The first is Satam Kripa, mercy of the devotees. The second is Mahat Seva. The mercy of the devotees comes in the form of service to them. The third is Shraddha, faith which develops after rendering service to those devotees. The fourth is Guru Padashraya. And Vishwanath, he describes that someone who has faith, he must seek shelter at the feet of a guru. That's the definition of faith. If they don't have faith, then they're not seeking out the lotus feet of the guru, and they don't really have faith. Obviously, it's a simple thing. You have faith, what do you have faith in? Do you have faith in Sadhu? Well, no, but I have faith in Krishna. I have faith in Prabhupada. Well, if you have faith in Prabhupada, do you think that Prabhupada can't send a sadhu? Do you think that Guru Maharaj can't send a sadhu? Do you think that Krishna's broke? That Krishna just ran out of money? He ran out of sadhus and Prabhupada was the last one. Guru Maharaj was the last one. Jeeva's really sorry, you're all out of luck. We never got to meet such a person. We often comment that this is the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. Someone may be offended, but what do you mean? I'm a Vaishnava, I'm going to tea like Mukundimal. I'm not like Hiranyakashipu. But what was the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu? You may dress externally like a Vaishnava, but internally maybe something else. The philosophy of Hiranyakashipu was that he didn't believe that God existed. And he didn't believe specifically that he existed everywhere. Where is your God, Prahlad? Is he in this pillar? Yes, Father, he's in this pillar. Then I'll kill him. And he lifted up his sword and he got a big surprise. No, because the Lord is everywhere. But he's not alone. Krishna's never alone. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, they're an extended subject. They're not a limited subject. They're always with their devotees. Sangho Pangashta Parshadam. They're always surrounded with the devotees. There's no question of separating the Lord from his devotees. The Lord is always present with his devotees. And therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Purana, Samsara Vaishnava Adina, Deva Vaishnava Palita, Ahamcha Vaishnava Adinas, Tasmat Shrestascha Vaishnava. That we have proof that the Vaishnavas exist. Sometimes devotees, they say, there's no Vaishnavas present today. No pure devotees. So there's no pure devotees in Islam. No, we have proof. Gurma said the proof is the sun is shining. Proof is the wind is blowing. Proof is this verse. Samsara Vaishnava Adina. This whole samsara, this whole material universe is dependent on the presence of the Vaishnavas. And ISKCON is dependent on the presence of the Vaishnavas. It's not the International Society for Management Consciousness. People who are just absorbed in management consciousness, they're not real members of the society. People who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they're real members. Prabhupada wanted to create a society of people who are conscious of Krishna. And for that purpose, he went around the world and preached and wrote so many books, encouraged his followers to also preach. Our purpose is to make people Krishna conscious. And that's the purpose of the society. The management may go this way, the management may go that way. It's really not such a big thing. And one day you have an Indra with red hair, and the next day you have an Indra with black hair. Indra always comes and goes. There'll be so many different Indras. But Krishna is always there. And those Krishna conscious devotees have to be there. If there were no sadhus present, then how would the chanting of Hare Krishna go on in the society? How would the devotees, the people in the society, have faith? There must be some sadhus present. So someone who has developed faith, it means Guru Padashraya. That faith manifests in the form of Sri Guru. So you'll have faith in Guru. Ado Shraddha. The beginning is faith in what? Tata Sadhu. Faith in Sadhu. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary of Bhakti Siddhartha, on this verse from the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, he says that a person has to have faith in a devotee, and that faith comes by doing prasanga seva, by serving that person's body, and by associating with them in the holy dham, by hearing Krishna katha from such a person. And if we do that, then we develop some paramarthika shraddha. So, satam kripa, in the beginning is mercy from the devotees. The next thing comes is the form of that mercy, which is mahat seva, service to them. And then that mahat seva, by rendering service to the devotees, then comes shraddha, faith. And the symptom of the person who's shraddhavan, the shraddhavan jana, is he's guru padashraya. He's a person who takes shelter of the Guru. Srila Prabhupada, he describes in one lecture we printed in a book, Hare Krishna. He said that one cannot become a devotee by one's personal endeavor. You can't do it by your own. He said, just like some rascals say, what's the use of accepting a Guru? He says, of course, they've got very bad experience. In those two sentences, Srila Prabhupada summarized, I think, hundreds of devotees all over the world. Just like some rascals say, he's not very impressed with them, he calls them rascals. And what is their philosophy? What is the use of accepting a guru? Therefore, they're a rascal. They say, what's the use of accepting a guru? And then he gives the reason why they have that attitude. Of course, they've got very bad experience. So you've got very bad experience. You took initiation from someone, and they fell down and they went away. So then, what's the use of a guru? They're all bogus. You're like a child. When a child is very young, he plays with matches, and he burns himself, and he starts crying. A foolish child who burns himself in his youth, he'll take a vow, I'll never touch matches again in my life. And so then, how will he function? It's very hard to cook. It's very hard to do so many things, but matches are bad. It's a childish attitude. Matches are not bad. You had some karma. You made some mistake. You burned yourself. Don't blame the match. Blame yourself. Prabhupada goes on to say in the same lecture, which was given in Mumbai, the 5th of October, 1973. Prabhupada says, it's not that if I like, I can go to a guru, and if I don't like, I can study books at home and learn everything. Prabhupada said, no, that's not possible. It's not that if you like, oh, I'll go to a guru, and if I don't like, then I'll just read the books at home, because it's just the same thing. I'll just listen to a tape. We'll have a video class. It's not the same. We should have at least some discussion or something. Otherwise, we've seen people just watch the video and they go to sleep. And maybe their eyes are open, but their brain goes to sleep. So Prabhupada says, it's practical. Just like if you purchase a medical book, study at home, and then you begin to practice, you'll be called a quack. Abhinash Brahmas. You may have a headache one day. So you go to Prajna. I said, Prabhupada, I have a very bad headache. Can you help me? And he said, yes, no problem. I have a book on medical science, and I've memorized the entire book. So please just lay down here on the table, and I have my trusty pocket knife. And we're going to do brain surgery. Cut open your head, and we'll do that. Will you accept it? He won't do it. But he's read the book. He memorized the entire book. You won't do it. Prabhupada said, you may do like that, but you'll be called a quack. Like a duck. Pucky, the tango pucky. It makes that sound, quack, quack. So you'll be called a quack. It's an English word. Quack means some bogus doctor. He's not really a qualified doctor. So Prabhupada says, it's practical. Just like if you purchase a medical book, study home, you begin to practice, you'll be called a quack. The government will not recognize you. You'll not get the practitioner's registration unless you've passed through the medical college and had your medical examination. You'll not be accepted. Even if you say, I've read all the books. Similarly, someone may say, I've read Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, I've read Bhagavad Gita 100 times. Prabhupada says he may have read Bhagavad Gita 1,000 times, but he won't understand a single word because he's not approached. So this verse that we're reading from today, Shushusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi, is a very important subject. It's Kataruchi. This Kataruchi is described in many places in Shastra. This Kataruchi is the beginning of real spiritual life. There's many people who are doing some ritualistic things, or doing some religious things. But the Bhagavatam says it's a waste of time if there's no Kataruchi. Dharma samustita pumsan. Vishvakshena katasuyana padaya yaryutim shrama eva hikevam. Shrama eva hikevam. It's a waste of time. All your vanashram. All your book distribution. All your preaching. It's a waste of time if you don't develop Kataruchi. Otherwise, what's the difference between us and some mundane encyclopedia salesman? We can just hire an encyclopedia salesman to go out and distribute books. If the purpose is just distributing books, but there's another purpose. Srila Prabhupada could have distributed all the books himself, but he wanted us to do service. Mahat Seva. It's very, very important. So we have to develop this Kataruchi. And these things come in some order. Sutam Kripa, Mahat Seva, Shraddha, Guru Padashraya, and then comes Bhajanesha Spriha. That means Ruchi. Some eagerness to worship. Vishwanath says that Shushusho means that a person becomes eager to hear by taking shelter. A person who becomes eager to hear by taking shelter of a guru, he'll eventually develop taste, he'll eventually develop ruchi. So it's so important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written some articles in Sajjana Toshini, and he spoke about what is Bhakti Adhikar. And he says some people will say that Bhakti Adhikar is Shraddha. But he says, no, that's not true. It's faith alone is not enough. You also have to have Mahat Seva. You also have to have Mahat Sangha. association with devotees. And he said, but that's also not enough.
No.
You also have to hear. You have to do bhajan and kriya. But he says, that's also not enough. I think all of us have seen at one time or another someone who's come to the temple and they have faith. And they got association with devotees, maybe even they associate with Guru Maharaj, maybe they associate with Srila Prabhupada. And they begin the practice of bhajan and kriya, but they went away. Why? Bhaktivinoda says something else is required, and that's ruchi, taste. So that ruchi is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada, he described that in one lecture on the Nectar of Devotion in Vrindavan in 1972. And he said there, this shraddha has to be increased. The faith has to be increased. Then when you come to the point of ruchi, vasudev kata ruchi, that's the beginning of our perfection. That's not the end, that's the beginning. We have to develop this vasudev kata ruchi. Prabhupada's referring to this verse we're speaking today. He says, at the present moment, there's no ruchi, no taste. There are so many exalted persons that they have no taste. They've lost all taste. The preachers could not preach properly to create taste in the people in general. So that's what it means to preach. Preaching means to create taste in people. Not just to come and give them some instruction. Hey, why aren't you doing what I told you? You should listen to me. Never mind about getting a taste. Preaching means that I just tell you what to do and you do it. No. Preaching means empowering someone. Preaching means giving someone some taste, some harikata. Srila Prabhupada says, it's not the fault of the people, it's the fault of the so-called preachers. Because they could not create taste. They wanted to take the place of Krishna. Their preaching consisted of, hey, I'm bigger than you, I'm senior to you, you should listen to me. I'm in charge of the ashram. So you should do what I say. Why? Because I said so. That's why. Prabhupada says they wanted to take the place of Krishna. That's not the position. That's not a duty of the devotee. Our duty is to give people kata ruchi. To give them some taste. Prabhupada says they wanted to take the place of Krishna. That was their purpose. Imitation of Krishna. Imitation of God. That will not do. You have to create taste. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So we were speaking about this in the beginning. That some people try to take the position of God by saying, yes, I'm Guru. And Prabhupada says in this purport that we're reading from, that some demoniac persons, they act like God. And the followers of such demoniac persons, they also accept pretenders as God or His incarnation. So if someone is demoniac, they'll accept some bogus person as Guru. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes Brahmavivarta Purana. He says that someone who's very sinful in their heart, because of that sin or because of offense, they'll be attracted to bogus Guru. They'll be attracted to bogus literatures. They'll be attracted to bogus philosophy. Because some sin is there. So we have to purify our heart. We say that bhakti stu bhagavad bhakti sangena parijayati. The bhakti comes from the devotees. As we described again in the beginning, they're Krishna Kripa Srimurti, the embodiment of Krishna's mercy. And by their mercy, we get bhakti. But how does that bhakti come? How does that association come? Satsange prapite pumbi sukritai purvasamchita by some sukriti. So, although it seems like there's some contradiction, adosha nivata sadhu Rupa Goswami says in the beginning is faith, and Vishwanath here is saying satam kripa in the beginning. They're both correct. It's just a slightly different way of looking at things. In the beginning, we have to have some divine mercy. It's another meaning of satam kripa. And that may be causeless mercy. Causeless mercy through from the Lord, or through generally he gives through the devotees. Just like we often tell the story of Srila Prabhupada when he visited South Africa. And it was one of the devotees owned a house, or they were renting a house, excuse me. And the landlady lived right next door, and she was very angry with the devotees, always criticizing them, and using foul words, and saying bad things about them. And so when Prabhupada came, the devotees were afraid. What's going to happen when Prabhupada comes out? She's going to say something offensive to Prabhupada? But when Prabhupada came out the first day, immediately he went up and walked up to her and started speaking. The devotees were like, what's going to happen now? And Prabhupada said, such a nice garden you have. You've been doing this a long time. I said, well, yes. And she started talking about the garden. And the next day again, Prabhupada came and started talking to her. This time he was talking about his teeth. And her teeth, do you have problems with your teeth? And then every day he would speak to her about her digestion, her health, or the weather. He would never speak to her about Krishna. And that woman, she never liked the devotees. Even after that, she still didn't like the devotees. If someone would ask her about the devotees, she said, they're bogus. But their family, he's a very nice man. He's very perfect.